better without it. And sometimes we have to get rid of things. If you have ever moved, you know, when we're younger, we just keep wanting to buy, we buy bigger, we move up, you know. Now we get about our age and we want to, quote, downsize. Anybody here use the word downsize lately? Yeah, a bunch of us have. Well, sometimes in our own lives, we have to downsize to make things peaceful. And God has said to Isaiah, I've got to downsize on the Hebrew children because they are not who I created and are not being what I wish them to be. So a lot of the Hebrews are going to be killed in wars. Part of it with the Assyrians, the bad dudes there, and part of it will later on be with the Babylonians, another bad dudes there. God can use evil / bad / whatever term you'd like to use in that category, people, to get his goal. It is not a doubt in my mind. It is not one single doubt in my mind. Now, this may seem strong. That God did use Adolf Hitler and what went on in World War II to start the beginning of the end. Simply because the Jews had to be reunified and they had to be in Israel. It's that way all the way through. They're going to go back. Now, as tragic as what took place, and it was an atrocity. Not only the 6 million Jews killed in the German camps and all, Poland and that area, but also the about 9 million that were killed in Russia, in Siberia, etc. Those things are evil. But yet, it is probably the, I don't think really the question, it's the force that triggered the going home of the Jews in 1948-49 and rebuilding Israel since then. There were several. Let's see. All of us were around in the 60s. I'm not sure we all remember the 60s, but all of us were around in the 60s. Of the two wars, the 64 and 67 war, which made the Arabs look terrible because they had fully intended to destroy, sneak attack the Jews in Israel, but it made the Jews stronger because they made their position. We are who we are, and we'll take our stand. So all the downsizing and then the discrimination, everything that the Jewish nation went through, led to the strength that Israel's got. Now, let me tell you what. It's Dwight's opinion. You don't want to mess with the Jews. If you read about the Mossad and what goes on in the Likud and their government and stuff, those people are there to fight for themselves. And the truth of the matter is, you don't want to mess with them because they will go to death. Every 18-year-old kid goes straight to the military for a year, and when you leave the military, you take your Uzi with you. You're required to have it at all times. It's in government by everyone, or military by everyone. Well, I think this goes all the way back to Isaiah's time. God says, I've got to get rid of those and punish those and make an example to those who are not on my side and are not following me. If you had Joseph, you're the cop. If you had to guess, how many speeders would there be a night, and how many did you all pull over?
As many as you want.
Well, that's an easy answer. Hundreds.
The average speed out here on the interstate is 80 miles an hour, and we were up in Sarasota to visit the trooper, and I asked him, I said, what are you lighting them out at tonight? He said, 92 and up.
Ooh.
And I said, what? He said, yeah, I rode a 92, a 98, 103. And he said, you want that one? It's going 88. And we said, yeah. And so we took off and got in. In just a few moments, we heard his sirens again. We're on the side of the road. We saw blue lights. Mm-hmm. We're stopped. This car passed us like we were. And he's after it. And as soon as we get down the line, we drive up, and I said, what was the guy run? Oh, he's at 112. He would write 10 tickets a night up there in Sarasota. We didn't write that many because we didn't stay out of the interstate all the time. They pulled us over that 41. But you could write out tickets just about as fast as you could.
Then if you can't catch everybody, now I'm being dirty. If you can't catch everybody, why bother giving anybody a ticket?
Well, that's what the man told us. He said, well, why did you stop the car ahead of us? He said, well, we can't get them all. We have to leave some fish for next time.
For next time. My thought is, in my feeble mind, is that you give the tickets, the ones that get tickets, to warn the other ones, it may be you next. That's the way I look at it. He goes, you're not going to get everybody. It's just not going to happen. Well, I think God tried to show the Jews here, here's what can happen if you don't do what's expected. Now Isaiah is thanking God. You're angry, but you've forgiven me. You've turned away your wrath. That's a thank you letter. That's something that Helen Steiner Rice could write or something like that. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Now, if salvation isn't important, why did he waste his time putting it twice in that one sentence? Well, it is important. It's what they strive after. In that day, this is future, but still is Isaiah. In that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord and call on his name. Now, the day he's been speaking about is what God has been speaking about, is the time of punishment. You remember he told us that he would use Assyria as a club, an evil nation with no background of respect for Jehovah himself, with no background of respect for the Jewish nation himself, but with one that can do his task. We go on. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Advertise. As Christians, somebody should be able to look at us and tell that we're different. Not because we wear a big 3-foot log chain around our neck with a 4-pound cross. We had a guy that worked in a Christian bookstore up in Lexington. He actually had a cross this tall. Every time he bent over, he hit the counter with it. But that was his story, and that's fine with me. But we don't have to do that. People should tell by the way we speak, the words we use, our demeanor, our smiles, etc., etc., our positivity, that we are saved and happy about it. That's our privilege. That's not only responsibility. I think that's our privilege. Verse 5 says, sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. If you get a really nice Christmas, birthday, present, don't you try to thank the person who gave it to you for it? To show appreciation? Well, that's what Isaiah is saying here. We've been given so much by God, from God, by God. Why should we not be happy about it? Well, obviously, we should be. Verse 6 says this, shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Do we celebrate enough? Are we? Was it this week, Carol, or 2 weeks ago? Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. The Mozart song, the Beethoven song. Was it this week? Yeah. Listen, what's the song say? Joyful, joyful. That's the kind of people we should be. I mean, every day is not going to be vacation. Every day is not going to be an all-expense-paid trip to the Dominican Republic. Oh, wait a minute. That may not be what you want to do right now. Oh, did you hear the excuse by the guy that runs the... Well, he said, we give them these all-included things, so if the people eat too much and drink too much, it's their fault if they die. That's what he said on TV today. Thinking, boy, he's a good salesman. They probably wish they'd have muzzled him or something. An oracle means a speech concerning Babylon that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw. Now we get the prophecy. Okay, that's what this oracle is. Raise the banner on a bare hilltop, shout to them. Beckon them to enter the gates of all the nobles. I have commanded my holy ones. I have summoned my warriors to carry out my wrath. Those who rejoice in my triumph. God has... I said that wrong because I was going to say God has human emotions. Let's reverse that. Humans have some of God's emotions. He's been happy. He's enjoyed things. Remember, created something. This is good. He said he was sorrowful that he created man. Jealous. Oh, absolutely. God is a jealous God. It's the Christian song, "Our God is a gracious, our God is a gracious God." God's a jealous God. He doesn't want to be second place. Connie, in the back row.
Yeah, I have a friend. Her sister's a nun. I think I told this a while ago. We were discussing the Bible, and I said something about God being a jealous God. Well, he is certainly not a jealous God. I had to go home and research. I think it's 13 or 14 times when she's in the Bible that he's a jealous God. She didn't know that.
Isn't it part of the Ten Commandments? It says, "Yeah." How do they miss that in nunnery school? I don't know. But God is a jealous God. You know, what's that old country song? Go home with the one that brung you. I have commanded my holy ones, the ones that are doing His work. He says, I have summoned my warriors to carry out my wrath. These things I want done. Now, what else could he have done besides finding warriors to do it? What else could God have done? What else has he done in the past? Huh? He could have just smoted them all himself. Boom, there's a plague. You're gone. Boom, there's this. The Black Death in the Dark Ages supposedly was called by a bite of a tick of a Norwegian rat or something like that, and the people just died. A good amount of the population had died from it. It was just bodies would be stacked up like cordwood on the side of the streets for the people to haul them away. There had been a conference by the religious leaders, and I can't remember if it was in France or England. Overpopulation was strong. Wait a minute. Does that sound like today? Overpopulation? And the two presentations were made. One would be they're going to pray to God that He helps them increase their food production and their health. The other one is that God would send a plague to wipe out a good part of the population so they wouldn't have to be worried about food anymore. Well, they voted on number two. Smart bunch. Right after that, the Black Plague came upon them. I don't think they're going to be praying for mass death anymore after that. Listen to noise on the mountain like that of a great multitude. Listen to uproar among the kids. Who's been to Niagara Falls? Everybody but Dwight. Is it really that loud? It is that loud. When you stand at the bottom, that roar.
See the mist go right by. It's impossible to do that. See the mist take over.
Oh, yeah.
Back around. Cool.
It is cool.
Sounds like the 50th wedding anniversary.
But it's amazing. That you see, they say it overwhelms you. That kind of stuff does.
You wonder why it never runs out of the top or fills up the bottom. Just
go. I am 67 years old. I've never been asked that question before.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing.
It's just got a pump at the bottom that pumps it back up, recycles it. It's the same water. It's the same water. Why, she said, well, it's amazing why it doesn't run out at the top or fill up at the bottom. What is above? I guess is it the Niagara River that feeds that? Is that what it is? Well, that roar just evidently consumes you. Listen, an uproar among the kingdoms, like nations amassing together. So a big crowd. Jeff, what's the biggest crowd you all saw at Neyland? I I suspect that would be loud. Deafening. I don't know, we get 22,000 UK Rupp Arena, just you going like holding down. But can you imagine just that much noise going? That's what they're hearing from the mountains. It's God's people getting ready. The nations are massing together. The Lord Almighty is mustering. I have no idea where the word muster comes from. I thought it was from French's. But it's a military term, means pull together, doesn't it? You muster the troops, it's a military term. The Lord Almighty is mustering an army for war. God is a loving God, but let me tell you what, God will also cause death and destruction for those who do not obey. It's just simply there. Because He is a just God. And if you're a just God, you do things the way they need to be done. And since He invented justice, He knows what it is. They, meaning the armies, come from faraway lands, from the ends of the heavens. The Lord and the weapons of His wrath will destroy the whole country. Now, He's using everything at His source. This could have been three times this would have applied. One to the northern 10 tribes with Assyria. One with the southern 2 tribes with Babylon. And I think the third one is what's going to come. When the ingathering, when all the people will come together to see the attempted to, but not the completion of the destruction of Israel by the pagans. And we'll be on the right side. The Christians will be on the right side, the proper side. Wait, for the day of the Lord is near. Now, what is near? What is near? See, it's all on that. Chuck.
Coming soon.
Coming soon. But when is soon? Huh? The judgment, but when? When it gets here, when... Y'all are baiting this very well. Remember your first Christmas or first birthday? Were you 4 or 5 years old? And it would seem like it would be forever when it happened again. Because if you're 5 from the time to 6, that's 1/5 of your life. That's 20% of your life to get to 6. Now, all of us in here are at least 60. I do. Can I say that? Is anybody want to disagree with 60? Okay, we'll accept 60 then. I'm not asking for your personal information. Let's say you're 60. From 1 December 25th to the next December 25th is 1/60th of your life. Which is what? 3%? Is 18? I don't know. Whatever percent it is. No, about 1.5%. Very, what is it? 1.25? 1.5. Well, 1.5% of your life doesn't take near as long to happen, it seems. I mean, 4th of July, wasn't it just 4th of July last week? Well, you know, that kind of stuff. Because our time span is the same, but our experiences has been spread out a lot more. So near is a matter of when it has to be. And we don't know time. God does not have a Timex. Even though He created time, morning and night was the first day, and there were day and light. He gives us all that. But God is not bound by our time. The best example I have seen when He talks about God and time is one of my favorite lines at all. It says, in the fullness of time. Which to me means, when God gets good and ready, it's going to happen. That's what it means to me. When God gets good and ready, it's going to happen. So, He goes on, wait for the day of the Lord is near. Now, if He's talking about, the third thing He may be talking about here is not just the day of the Lord as a universal destruction, but our individual deaths. Because say if you live to be, what's the average age here? 90? I don't know, I'm not in this room, but I mean in this area. Is it roughly 90? 85 or 90? Well, what's the oldest then? I'll make it easier. Does anybody know anybody over? Well, we've got, we do. Rosie the Riveter is 99. I don't want to live that long. She seems to be enjoying it. She sure loves being with us. But at the end of her time, it'll be her time. So that time may be near. It just may be our individual lives. We're told God gives 80, which is 70 years, by some means of example. He may give you 80, which is 70, and he may give you 80. So the age pretty much is set out at 80 there. Several of y'all, I'm not going to say, but I do, several of y'all have more than 80 candles on your birthday or something like that. Eventually we're going to die if Jesus doesn't come get us first. Yes, ma'am. Make sure they're LED lights in. Be all right. That's what you need to invent, an LED Christmas, a birthday light. Wait, whale, he says, whale. For the day of the Lord is near, it will become like destruction from the Almighty. Because of this, all hands will go limp. Every man's heart will melt. Terror will seize them. You've heard things at times that just stunned you. We were playing, we were at a storytelling event, and I got a phone call. And it was my sister who said, Harold Robinson, who's the fellow that comes and brings the two daughters and three granddaughters, or now be four now, was on a cruise boat and fell overboard. I've hit the wall and fell down. I just couldn't stand up. I hit the wall and fell down. I got to making some more calls. Harold Robinson had a heart attack, and they flew him out on a helicopter, and he was going to be in Miami the next day having surgery. That was a big difference. A big difference. But not the way I heard it the first time. So when it says their hands have gone limp, I have felt that at least once in my life. When your hands have gone limp. And it will be that way to those who have not gone the way that God wants them to go in their lives and in their service. Terror will seize them. Pain and anguish will grip them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. Say, having seen that in the past, that's pretty harsh. They will look aghast at each other, their faces aflame. The movie industry has done a disservice to terror. Friday 13th, Freddy the Mask Guy, and all that. We have so many spooky, scary, all those kind of movies that they get shot, but they get back up for the next movie, that type of thing. Jason and all that. I sometimes think we don't understand how harsh life could really be because it hasn't happened to us, and we've made it so common. But it looks pretty bad with all these things. See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it. The stars of the heavens and the constellations will not show the light. The rising sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give light. In the book of Revelation, I think it is chapter 6. I'm hoping it's chapter 6. In other words, this is not the only time that darkness is mentioned in the Bible. It's talking about breaking of the seals. The seals, yes. Chapter 6, we look at verse 12. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon, now sackcloth, we know, is tater bags. Well, that's a coarse, that's a coarse fiber. You take something as fine as goat hair, it's not coarse, and light doesn't get in. It's a darkening effect, made with goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars of the skies fell to the earth. The late figs dropped from the fig tree were shaken by a strong wind, and the sky receded like a scroll, rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. In other words, it's a pure destruction. Now, they are giving to us in terms of how they just saw, they described it. Too often, we are worried about little things without understanding it. Is it the story, was it the seven Indians, men from India, they were, all right, let's start with this. Was it the seven blind men from India? were taken for the first time to the zoo and to see an elephant. In other words, see there is obviously. The first one they placed against the trunk. We said, well, the elephant is like a huge snake. The second one they placed against an ear. Well, the elephant is like a large tree branch or tree leaf. The third one they placed against the leg. Looks like the trunk of a tree. The next one against a snail, like the tail. Well, it's like a long worm. And every different part, one of them was touching the toenails. It's like a huge stone. So every different part, which was the only part they had available for them, had a different description. And we are very big in our language of similes. So this is like so and so, and this is like so and so. Is that way? How's it taste? It tastes like chicken. No matter what you eat, if it's white meat, it tastes like chicken. Is that not true? Have you not said that yourself? I'm surprised they would come out with a chicken flavored spam or something. Simply because. They have bacon's favorite flam, you're right.
I'm trying to figure out what chicken tastes like. If everything tastes like
it tastes like everything else. Scallops and everything else, yeah. Yeah. So, they're using these assemblies, and he's talking about it, how dark the sun is and the sky. In other words, there's destruction. I, meaning God, will put an end to arrogance of the haughty, and will humble the pride of the ruthless. I will make men scarcer than pure gold. Talking about a guy the other day, and I probably was cruel, but I was telling the truth. I would like to buy him for what I thought he was worth and sell him for what he was worth, what he thought he was worth. Because there's a lot of people that are really, they look at themselves a lot higher than everybody else does. You met them, you know them. They introduce themselves that way, they walk that way. Was that the doctor's office the other day. I was at the x-ray office the other day, and they called a lady. I do not want to do that. I don't want to do that either. They called a lady. Now, she's sitting in a chair in the x-ray office reading a magazine. So she takes the magazine, and she goes, close, lays it down, his arms ready, stands up, adjusts herself, fluffs up her hair, then she goes, like Ginger Rogers or somebody. I mean, she was a whole lot more impressed with herself than I was. But she definitely was. And you know people like that. They're just marching like she was leading. She wasn't in the parade. She was leading the parade, Connie. She probably, I figure, you. And I know I'm going to offend somebody in here, but it just happens this way. If you've been around high school kids a lot, you can pretty much tell who is a cheerleader. Some of you, anybody here was a cheerleader? After that, you probably don't want to say it, do you? Carolyn was a cheerleader. Jill was a cheerleader. Irina was a cheerleader. Anybody else? I picked all three of you ahead of time. But you just had that genre, that, and you knew very well she was special because she showed you she was special. Ma'am, I'm sorry for that. That's what I get. I will make man scarcer than pure gold. Well, there's not a whole lot pure gold. If you watch those gold mining shows, even if they get it out of the ground, they still have to heat it up and get rid of the impurities. Get all this slag off. So if you're scarcer than pure gold, more rare than gold or of opry. Region where they do mining. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble. The earth will shake from its place all the wrath of the Lord Almighty in the day of his burning anger. There's that anger thing again. God's got a mad going on. And he's going to get it taken care of. Like a hunted gazelle, like sheep without a shepherd, each will return to his own people. Each will flee to his native land. Whoever is captured will be thrust through, speared, or sword. Whoever's caught falling will fall by the sword. Their infants will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be looted and their wives ravished. When an army would come in those days, there was no respect for captives. As Santa Anta said, kill them all. And that was their theory. And as the army would leave, they would kill all children. They would kill all the babies. You know why? Revenge. And stops the future army. Well, we've taken care of the things. Not going to happen again. The women would be, it says ravaged. We know that's a physical sexual abuse. That's why there's so many redheads throughout all the world, even though they only come from Scotland and Ireland, because the soldiers would they would fertilize the women as they left and leave their prodigy on. That's why there's a lot of mixing the races in the Nordic countries, Norway and all, took place. That was their captives of war. See, I will stir up against the Medes. Now, the Medes is Mr. Cyrus. We're gonna come to him later. We're going to come to him like 100 years from now. I will stir up against the Medes, who do not care for silver and have no light and gold. You ever meet a person who's just plain mean? Y'all met a person just plain mean? The Medes seemed to be that way. The object wasn't to go and kill somebody and take their gold. The object was to go and kill somebody. That was just a lot more fun. And that's what they did. So there's their alternative motive. It's not just theft, it's killing. I will stir up against the Medes. They don't care for silver, they don't care for gold. The bulls will strike down the young men. They will have no mercy on the infants, nor will they look compassion upon children. A sad lot, would you not think? Now the Medes would make up with the Assyrians at one time, then they would join the Babylonians against the Assyrians, and then they would join the Persians against the Babylonians. So whoever they wanted to fight, they were mercenaries. That's who they were. They were mercenaries. Like the Hessians in World War, Revolutionary War. Whoever paid the most, they got their services. Babylon, the jewel of the kingdoms, the glory of the Babylonians' pride, will be overthrown by God. The word Babylon means pride. It means, it comes from the word Shada, which is actually, have y'all heard the song El Shaddai, God Holy? That's where that comes from. That's where the word Babylon comes from. Babylon will be overthrown by God like Sodom and Gomorrah was. That's one he took care of on his own. She will never be inhabited or live through all generations. No Arab will pitch a tent there. No shepherd will rest his flocks there. But the desert's creatures will lie there. The jackals will fill their houses like there are owls that will dwell. There are wild goats will leap about, and hyenas will howl down her stronghold. Jackals in her luxurious palaces, her time is at hand. After Babylon had captured Israel, at God's command, by the way, Nebuchadnezzar's father took a bunch of wild tribes and made them into a band of warriors. Nebuchadnezzar took them down there and he captured Israel and got a tremendous amount of wealth and a great amount of knowledge from the captives. But after those 80 years, it was time to send them back. Well, Babylon just wasn't going to go say, hey, y'all, nice knowing you. Thanks for being our slaves for 80 years. Thanks for all your inventions and literature and everything. They're not going to do it. So God sends the Medes and the Persians now. The Medes have done changed position again. And they go in there and they just rim-wreck Babylon. The wealth that was there, Cyrus sent it to Jerusalem to rebuild the tabernacle and the temple. But later it was just totally destroyed. After about 700 A.D., it was no more. Now I thought, and you learn a lot listening to wars, I thought that Babylon and Baghdad was the same town. My best understanding from people who have been there, they're about 30 miles apart.
Any of y'all ever traveled to Babylon when you went on your tours?
They're several miles apart. And I know some GIs that went to Babylon itself, well, to the remains of Babylon. It is not is not occupied whatsoever, about 30 miles from Baghdad. So, and it's what it says it was. It was desolate. It was a wild, wild territory. Nobody's there, and nobody wants to be there for a great amount of time. Cyrus had gone and conquered Babylon about 539 B.C. He had gone in and conquered Jerusalem about 619, 628 B.C. as well. So that's the period of time that he was at his most. But he had done what God wanted him to do. The people, here's why I think it's quite ironic. The people that made the armies of the nations of Babylon were Chaldeans. Now, remember the word Chaldee? Ur of Chaldees, where Mr. Abram was from? So, actually, his own blood kin had attacked and captured Jerusalem and taken them back in captivity, though many hundreds of years later. It's funny how things, that part of the world just seems to have so, well, that's the part we knew, I guess, has so much going on, so much of interest. When he speaks there about getting rid of the wild goats, many of the false gods were actually in the head of or the body of a goat. So you would worship the wild goats and the statues and the idols of them, which didn't please God extremely well. Any questions up to this point? 14. The Lord will have compassion on Jacob. Once again, he will choose Israel. This is going on down, okay? Now, Babylon has been destroyed. Israel has two choices. Rebuild or become defunct. There is no other choice. Israel is chosen by God to take over that land. Again, he will choose Israel. Compassion on Jacob. He did not say, and do understand this, he does not say he's given compassion on the 12 tribes. Gone. 11 are gone. Some of Benjamin is with Jacob, but he doesn't call the tribe of Benjamin anymore. He's called the tribe of Jacob. So consider 9.5 of them are gone. 10.5 of them are gone. But he's still choosing Jacob. Why is he still choosing Jacob? Key. He didn't like the name Jacob. Matter of fact, Jacob himself was not a nice guy. If you read the story about his sons and he getting his daughter-in-law pregnant and all that kind of stuff, not a nice guy. Because he thought she was a temple prostitute. Not a nice guy. But you didn't know that? It's a fact. Why Jacob? Huh? Yep. Well, but 10.5 of them are gone. 10.5. A little bit of Benjamin's left.
They're dispersed.
They're not a nation anymore. They've been spread out by the Syrians and all. That's why a lot of them ended up in Russia and stuff. They just moved. They were dispersed. Absolutely. But they're not a nation. I'm ready for them. Well, at one time there were 12 tribes. Each had their own land, each had their own governors, each had their own organization. There are not, even at this point in time, there are not 12 tribes left because the other ones have been dispersed. That's right. That's what I'm saying. They're not a tribe. They're not an individual tribe. They're just people, scattered people. I'm from Scotch, Irish, German, and English. Now, I am not part of the nation of Scotland or Ireland or Germany. I've been spread out. My ancestors came on over. And some of you may be from different tribes, different nations around the world. You no longer are led by the Israeli army or no longer led by the Roman army or something like that because we've gone past that and they're dispersed. And the truth of the matter is, there are probably people here that if you called to come back home, some would go back to Italy. Some would go back to Ireland. Some would go back to Mother Russia because they feel the allegiance there. But most of us, our allegiance is here because that's where we live, that's where we're brought up, that's all we really know. At least for me. The Lord will have compassion on Jacob. Once again, he chooses Israel. Will settle them in their own land. Aliens will join them and unite with the house of Jacob. Nations will take them and bring them to their own place. The house of Israel will possess the nations as men servants and maid servants in the Lord's land. They will make captives of their captors and rule over their oppressors. So they're going to come out strong at the end. Now this is over centuries. This will be over centuries. Israel, after the Babylonian thing, will be its own nation, but will never have the strength that it did under David. Never have the strength that it did under Solomon. Yet it does have a prominence there. And until 70 AD, when Tiberius comes in and just destroys Jerusalem, there'll still be a nation that's watched. After that, they go into limbo pretty much for 1900 years. On the day the Lord gives you relief from suffering and turmoil and cruel bondage, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. How? The oppressor has come to an end. How? The fury has ended. The Lord has broken the rod of the wicked, the sepulcher of the rulers, in which anger struck down peoples with unceasing blow. With fury subdued nations with relentless aggression. All the lands are at rest at the peace and they break into singing. Who was the leader before Fidel Castro? Anybody remember?
Batista.
What happened to Batista? What happened to Batista? If I'm not mistaken, Batista was hung in the middle of a gas station by a rope. That was not Batista. Who?
Mussolini.
No, Mussolini wasn't in Cuba, Chuck. Somebody look that up for me. Because I've got Chuck and I have a disagreement. Probably means you're going to prove Chuck right. Look at it. Somebody look up Batista. His first name is probably Juan, isn't it? Can you spell Batista? Huh? Well, good time to go if they're going to kill you. The lands are at rest, at peace. They break into singing. Pine trees and cedars of Lebanon exalt when you say, now that you have been laid down, no woodsman will come and cut you down. The grave below is all astir to meet you at your coming. It rouses the spirit to depart with you. All those who are world leaders and were leaders in the world, what makes them rise from their thrones? All those who were kings over the nations, they will all respond when you say, you have become weak as we are. There's a great leveling out. No nation has stayed that strong forever. They rise and fall. They call them dynasties. China had the different dynasties, the Ming dynasty, etc., etc. There were different. Egypt had dynasty after dynasty after dynasty. Usually, a dynasty is when a bunch of warriors came in and take over the country. But the leaders of Egypt during the time of Moses were not Egyptians. They were Hittites. So their leaders come and go, come and go, come and go, come and go. What were the name of the first two or three political parties in the United States? Whether the Republicans or Democrats? Whigs? Tories? Who was the other group? Federalists, wasn't it? Was it the other group, the Federalists, too? Adams wrote the Federalist Papers. Or Matt Monroe wrote the Federalist Papers. So nothing seems to be that strong that long in the eyes of 60 years old is 1.5% of your life. It seems to change. They will respond and say, we have become weak as you are. All your pomp has been brought down to the grave along with the noise of your harps. Maggots will spread out beneath you. That's really good. Worms will cover you. Yeah. Now that you have... Is it lunchtime? This isn't next week, Denise. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you say in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will raise my throne. Above the stars of God, I will sit enthroned at the Mount of Assembly. On the utmost heights of the sacred mountain, I will ascend above the top of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you have been brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Those who see you stare, they ponder at your fate. Is this the man who shook the earth and made the kingdoms tremble? Alexander the Great, a dozen different Caesars, Pompey, name dozens of leaders in the past, Attila the Hun. We go through all kind of very powerful warriors at one time who no longer have control. And their reign of terror didn't even last that long, unless you were in the middle of it. He said, these things are all but temporary, that God's going to get his revenge from the haughty and the prideful and the boasting. We'll start next week with verse 17 of 14, 14-17. Thank you very much.